Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We're back at the 12th floor of the Public Service Commission. 12th floor of the Capitol for the admin portion of the meeting, which I'll call to order now. We have a couple items on the consent agenda. I move passage of those.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, so we next have a couple items on discussion, and unless somebody has a request to move the scheduling items up because of time constraint, we'll just move forward with discussion. Does that work for my colleagues? Okay. So the first matter on discussion is yours, Brian, letter to congressional delegation on OSM's 2016 budget request.
Thank you, ma'am. Just yesterday at the late night meeting that kind of came up, Jim's discussion, I thought it was worthwhile to consider sending a letter. Jim's already given us a draft. He's way ahead of us, and I think it's a good idea. Keep the in the forefront of the delegation, the position they are in leadership, all three of them, I think. I know Congressman Kramer is well aware of this stuff. They actually all three are, but just to put it back on their radar screen so when they're wheeling and dealing out there, they maybe can stop the amount of cuts that are taking place.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thanks, Jim, for getting this letter together. I haven't had a chance to read through it. I'd probably like to do that.
No, there's time to. And in fact, after doing this, I was thinking I should probably mention something about AML as well. There's been part of the funds we get for AML, we should have been receiving $3 million this year, but because of sequestration, that's reduced to, like $2.78 million. So if sequestration goes away, we would have probably another at least $200,000 more for AML construction work. So I think need to add that to this as well. If that sounds all right.
Are these budget reductions because of sequestration?
Not what's being proposed this year. I think in the letter it indicates that in 2010 there was $71.3 million for all state programs approved. And when that got dropped back to about $68.5 million, I think that was because of sequestration. But this other reduction is just something OSM is proposing, or OSM or OMB, whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. And the sequestration cuts, so would we be saying, what would we be saying about sequestration in the letter?
Well, hopefully to eliminate the sequestration as it pertains to the AML grants that are given, so that those are not subject to sequestration.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know that I want to be advocating for going against sequestration, because there's a whole bunch of reasons for sequestration that,
Bring that up for discussion. If you don't want to go there, that's
yeah.
Well, I guess as you and Julie are talking, I was skimming and I was thinking the same thing you were just saying, is that this is a great idea, I think, but just put more of a North Dakota spin on it. Leave out all the D.C. politics of how they got to where they got. Just, you've cut our funding. Here's the impact to our programs. Request the full amount North Dakota usually gets. Get to the key points of, we need to make sure we get the money that we paid in to keep doing our reclamation programs and let them figure out how they want to do it.
Yeah, and the AML is funded by a tax, right? The other is not. That's general fund.
Right.
So for AML, I guess, yeah, I like that approach of Brian's, suggesting that, there might be a logic for not applying sequestration rules to that because it's a tax that was paid in for the purpose of restoring abandoned mine lands. So, but maybe not get into all that, just talk about, like Brian had suggested, it's important to our state. We'd like to have the full amount, blah, blah, blah.
Just to get their awareness, because I think that the reality is there's some staffer will get this, and they'll have 2 minutes to update the congressman or the senator. Hey, the PSC is concerned they're getting cuts out there, and it's affecting the things up here, here, and here. Okay, and that's really the uptake that the senators get, and the rest of it.
Well, and for them, with the literally hundreds of things they have to focus on, all the way from from national security on down, they can't keep their finger on the pulse of everything. So if we don't alert them and point this out, how would this rise to the top of their radar screen at a given moment on a given day anyway, you know. So
the other thing with regard to AML, with the amount we are receiving, we're getting more back than what the companies here in North Dakota pay in. So with that minimum, being a minimum funded state of at $3 million, even less the sequestration, because the mining companies here are currently paying in 8 cents a ton, and they're producing less than 30 million tons. So we're getting back more than what's being paid in. So.
Well, in order to save space, let's not include that in our letter.
Okay. Well, I wanted to bring it up to get your thoughts on that as well. So.
Good.
Do you just should one of us kind of take the lead working with Jim to tweak it, or do you just want to do it this way to staff it all three of us? I don't care.
Maybe since it's Randy's, he should. I'll give you any thoughts I have, or give Jim, and you can take it from there.
Do you feel like you're comfortable now with kind of having some thoughts on where we want to go?
Well, with this, I think it's pretty well laid out in the letter, and I guess I'll let you guys look at it, and whatever changes you want, go from there with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, and that's where I guess that was my thoughts. Take this and clean it up a little bit, put more of a North Dakota spin and shorten it up was what I was thinking. Like, that's my thoughts, and then let you guys sort out the final product if that's okay.
Do you want to address the sequestration on AML, though? Or the fact, or I mentioned that AML has already been less the last couple of years, and when did the sequestration, that's been the two bienniums now?
I think with the regret issue, this is the third time.
If we just mention that it's already been trimmed due to sequestration and it's having a negative impact on the amount of projects that we're able to carry out.
Yep, I'm fine with that.
That leads them to do what they either to end sequestration on that or put additional money in.
Just like Julie said, don't advocate one or the other.
Just make a note of that. Okay.
Okay, so you guys will
work on it.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for getting that done so quickly, Jim. That's
now, Lana, do we have to have a special meeting, or can we just get a draft and then I'll sign it? Since we've given our context now.
Not if it's close to what we talked about here.
Pardon?
If it's close to what you have agreed here you want to say, and if
so
there's a large
as
deviation, then we meet again.
As long as it's close, we can
just
sign it. So I'm sure it'll be close.
Me too. We don't want to bring it back.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. The second item I just throw out here, this could be really quick because I'm not even sure that we have a lot to talk about, but at NARUC we all had different discussions with other folks. You had some at FERC. It's been a while since we've talked about the whole SIPs versus FIPs on the CO2 proposed regulations. Maybe we don't need to do anything now because we have to wait and see what the final rule is. But I wanted to get up to speed on where we requested that we basically said we won't do it. We shouldn't do a FIP or we shouldn't do a state implementation plan. We should wait for a FIP. And I understand that the health department is kind of opposite of us. Is that true? Randy, is that your understanding?
I believe that they, depending on what comes out, if the proposal comes from EPA is kind of expected, I do think that the health department feels that they should do a SIP.
Mm-hmm. So do we just wait now? Do we need to do nothing until the proposed rule comes out, or do we need to be stirring the pot on the opposition for state implementation plans amongst our fellow regulators? Or,
well, if I could, Madam Chair, the regulators have broke down to just like kind of where we're at, where you've got some of the states that support the president's plan, they're submitting SIPs, and then you've got a smaller percentage that is like us, you know, the more conservative states, if you will. So I think our discussion with our colleagues, I think, is kind of at a stalemate. But I think that I'm glad you queued it up, because the question is, have we done all we can to urge the health department, who's an extension of the governor's office, that this is bad for states' rights? And then kind of what is the AG's position going to be with, you know, if we go back to the health department says they want to do a SIP, and you've got the attorney generals and the North Dakota PSC saying, no, it gives up states' rights, it kind of goes contrary to our legal argument that, by the health department doing that, they acquiesced some of this.
Right.
So I think it's ripe. I just don't know the best way to orchestrate all that.
Well, it seems like we have a couple options. We could try to get together with the health department and attorney general's office now, or we can wait until the rule is final and see what it says and then try to get everybody on the same page. Should we have kind of an interim discussion just to see what's going on? Mike has some thoughts. Or Vic?
Yeah, so in the discussions with Paul Seabee, he has suggested that we do a SIP, and it was for the legal standing portion of it. So basically, if we don't submit a SIP, they will give us a FIP. And according to him, by law, we would have to abide by it. If we do a SIP, we can essentially do what we feel is a reason is take reasonable steps in that SIP, even though it may not comply 100% with the law, you know, or the rule when it comes out. It would be what we as a state feel is our reasonable steps that we can take toward that goal, even though it would not achieve it. And that, and this is just according to like, again, what Paul Seabee has suggested thus far. We haven't started working.
Well, my opinion is that when we talk like that, that assumes that we do a SIP that EPA accepts. Just doing a SIP doesn't, it has to be something acceptable to them.
I guess he didn't specify the accepting portion. I mean, I think what his approach seemed to be is, let's create a SIP that we can live with. You know, let's say, you know, we're going to add this much wind and whatever, so that's going to take us here. You know, maybe your goal is here, but we're going to get to here. That's our SIP.
Well, they're to take it to the extreme, we can't do a SIP and say, tough, we're not doing anything, but here's our plan. They would deem that unacceptable, and they'd FIP us.
Well, for today's purpose, I just wanted to really have some SIP and FIP humor. I wanted to get a tip from all of you guys on where we're – no. Wanted to find out, get a sense for whether we should be talking about this now or really do we just need to wait? I mean, if this is something we need to make any decision on now, then let's get a meeting together with Health and Paul Seabee or just us and Paul Seabee or something. But if there is no point in doing that until we see the final rule, then we'll just wait until the final rule's out.
It may be good to have a strategy before the final rule comes out, but we certainly wouldn't want to draft anything
right
before the final rule comes out.
I don't think it'd be a bad idea just to have another talk with Dave, and just he's a very reasonable fella. And if he's going with a SIP, he could probably give us his rationale just to give us an update. And maybe his rationale probably fits his agency, but it might not be us. But I think it'd be worthwhile because I didn't know for sure that they decided on a SIP. So I'd just like to hear his rationale. And if it doesn't work for all three of us, I could go see him too. But
maybe that's a good starting point to make sure we understand where they're at.
Yeah. Plus, he's been talking with his other state health officers and might have some sense from, you know, those discussions as well. Okay, let's see if we can get a meeting scheduled with Dave. And maybe best to start with some days that work for him, or should we throw out some days that work for us on scheduling?
Good.
Let's do that.
But we're not going to have many.
We'll put that down. Yeah, we'll put that down.
I'll move this to scheduling.
Yep. Okay. Then legislative matters. I just wanted to throw this on here. I've got a couple items. Others might have some more, so we'll just start with those items that I've kind of identified, things that I'm working on. So I was called by legislator Vicki Steiner. She wanted to make a couple amendments on some – oh, shoot, did I leave the wrong – some bills that are up they're pipeline safety bills. One of them, there's two versions, really, big pipeline safety. One of them is 1358, and one of them is 2374. 2374 is Rich Wardner's bill, And 1358 is really a bill that was started with by Representative Anderson, Dick Anderson. That one, I'm told, is the one that's really going to be moving forward. They're going to combine these into that bill, and that's the one that's going to survive 1358, or they expect to survive. And Vicki Steiner wanted to add a couple items that are of concern for her in our discussions. She's really concerned about the waterways and keeping, improving pipeline safety on the lines that exist around the waterways. In my discussion with her, I talked about the prohibition that we have on any regulatory requirements that would be higher than the federal standards. We talked about this early on, like a couple months ago, and there's, you know, that law that doesn't allow us to have anything stricter than PHMSA does in their requirements. She wants to propose and has drafted an amendment that would allow us to require lines that go in near or under, near or around, I mean, there's three terms, municipal water supplies or domestic water use, bodies that are domestic water use or municipal water supplies, that we could require companies to test them with pigs more frequently than is what required by the federal government. So it's a very limited expansion of what we can require on pipeline safety, just to improve the testing and monitoring of lines that go around and under water bodies.
So would it say that the PSC or the state of North Dakota is?
PSC. I have it. It's on my
are
desk.
Are we talking about above ground water ponds and streams and such?
No,
or are we talking about aquifers?
No, we're not talking about aquifers. Municipal water supply, I've got it in my office. I didn't bring the actual language. I should either run in and get it or spread it around afterwards. I can do that. But it's rivers, streams. It's not every single water body. It would, and it only if it's something, a river or stream, that lake that is used for municipal water supply or domestic use.
Well, my initial reaction is, A, you know, if you're sure that answer, that solves part of the problem, because aquifers, you know, stretch out, and you're not going to lay any significant pipeline without crossing an aquifer that somebody doesn't, some community doesn't use somewhere. But then when it comes to what we would probably all in this room sit here and think of as a legitimate waterway, I don't know where that definition's going to be, but if the feds have their way and change that, you know, anything that could ultimately flow into a waterway, the feds want to call a waterway. So that will mean that everything flows into a waterway sooner or later. And so basically they would be covering everything. And so depending on the definition of those waterways, right, it might include everything.
Here's the important thing to remember. It simply gives us the discretion to, we don't have to require them to do more frequent pigging. That's the change. I'm going to run and get it right now. Can I?
Oh, absolutely.
It would be, I think it's just documents.
I'll look at my pipeline guru wherever he went to. All you guys. But really, our jurisdiction on operation and maintenance is only with natural gas distribution lines, correct? Pat, I mean, that's where I have to ask Julian, she gets back, but if she's thinking siting, I think that's a different kettle of fish. But for actually what we can require pigging, we only have jurisdiction on natural gas distribution lines, right?
Natural gas, intrastate natural gas distribution and transmission.
Yeah, so I think Vicky's thinking, Representative Steiner's thinking all oil stuff, which we have no jurisdiction on even. So I think this doesn't go too far, unless she's thinking siting, and in siting we can do that already.
Well, in these bills, the bills that she's talking about are there's other issues with them, but they're not PSC jurisdictional bills. They're oil and gas jurisdictional bills. in that section of law, 3808.
That's why I asked if what I was just going through over Julie is that.
On what she's proposing.
I don't know. That's why I asked about the whether we should or shouldn't. I think that we only have jurisdiction on natural gas intrastate natural gas distribution lines, so this doesn't really tie into our jurisdiction at all. So I think that's why if it's a PSC can, we're not going to be able to go out there and change the requirements on anything with hazardous liquids. And if she's talking
here's siting, what it is, 4902.01.2. That's the section. Pipeline Safety, Public Service Commission jurisdiction, hazardous facility orders. That's where it is. And it lays out that, you know, what our current policy or requirements are. The commission by rule may establish and enforce minimum safety standards for design, construction, operation of gas distribution facilities and interstate pipeline facilities. Use, this is what's already in there, use for the distribution of interstate transportation of gas, liquefied natural gas, or hazardous liquids. So some of our rules already apply for that, even though we don't have the PHMSA
I see. Grant. So she wants to give us the authority, even though the people aren't there.
So then it says, you know, then it basically says any rule issued under this section affecting the design, installation, construction, inspection, testing is not applicable to pipelines in existence on the date rules adopted. The rules may not be more stringent than the corresponding federal regulations applicable to interstate pipelines and related facilities. So that's what prohibits us from doing anything more than PHMSA requires, which in the use of pegging is 5 years. Then she added, notwithstanding subsection 1, the commission may require the more frequent internal and external inspection of a pipeline than is required by corresponding federal regulations if the pipeline is in, under, or around a domestic use or municipal water source. The commission shall require an inspection of the pipeline if the pipeline is used for transporting material other than the last transported material and the new material may be hazardous. So basically, if they're converting from something like that's mundane like water and then they want to make it a hazardous liquids line, I doubt that that's technically feasible, but say it was, it wasn't hazardous, it is now, then we would have to require them to inspect it with a pig. So
she wants us to weigh in.
She, you know, basically is allowing us to have more discretion on the inspection and safety monitoring of these lines that are in and around water.
But we don't have the people to do that.
We don't. Well, and that, so unless we get them, we wouldn't be able to do this, but we would be prepared to if we get them.
That would certainly.
We could do it in gas. We could do it in gas, though, not that that's as big of a deal underwater, but we could require more frequent inspections of gas lines with this. We couldn't today.
I don't think any. There's not many of our jurisdictional lines that you can actually pig, is there? The gas stuff? Most of it's real small, right?
Well, any, you know, I think you can pig lines that when they get up in the 8-inch, 10-inch range.
But most of our stuff is less than 4.
Distribution. But if you're talking about transmission that crosses like Lake Skakawea or...
That's not our jurisdiction, though, now, is it?
For natural gas, if it's intrastate, it is.
Okay, just... Yeah.
Can I see that?
Yeah. We'd have to define which one of those lines are going under this lake. It's interesting, Julie. I'm not against it. I think the larger concern is putting out to the public that now the PSC is going to do this when the reality is we don't have... they shot us down to give us the people to even begin a liquid program.
Well, but this
it says we're going to do it. It allows us to if we, I mean, it gives us the opportunity. Today we couldn't. And I personally, I don't like going up to, you know, Joe Blow citizen and saying, who's saying, why wasn't this line checked more frequently? Well, because we can. The state law requires us, you know, prohibits us. And it's like, well, geez, you guys, you know, wake up. These lines leak.
Although I think if it says that we can, but they don't give us people, then that same Joe Citizen you're talking about will say, you have 40-some people up there. Go do your job.
Well, but I think that's easy enough to say we don't have that program. I mean, we don't have that program.
So I think this makes a good cause for us to argue if they're going to do this, why we need those people. but I kind of hate to see this in there if we don't get the people.
It's already gives us, it already references hazardous liquids in the in this up here, where it basically says we what we can and cannot do. It already references hazardous liquids. We just don't have the hazardous liquids program.
Right, but then up there it sums it up that it can't be more stringent than federal.
Right.
This changes that.
Right.
I also don't think domestic use water source means only above ground streams and rivers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It might not. I did check with Tim Dawson on that. And we weren't talking about it in that respect, the aquifers, so I'm not sure how that would impact.
But those are all details that can be worked out.
Right. Well, plus, you know, if we may want the opportunity to do it in an aquifer, too. I mean, if that's going to be something that a leak could impact, then.
And it certainly could.
Yeah, right.
But it just that then we're talking about really pretty much every pipeline then.
In those segments, yeah. If we had a reason to believe that they should be pigged more frequently.
You know, maybe right. A position would be that take out there about the aquifer stuff that, I mean, if it's a decision process to me of either you give the state the ability to do stuff more strict than the feds or you don't. So why would we, if we're going to go down that road, you could go the other way that we shouldn't be limited to because of aquifers. If we think there's some critical infrastructure that requires extra safety, we should be able to do it. You take it to so then you take out all the aquifer and who's doing what to who. I mean, if the PSC feels that there should be extra pigging, then we should be able to do it.
I think that's an argument that we'd have to look at broader and longer in advance of the next session and talk to industry, et cetera, et cetera. This is more narrow and I think more doable at this stage in the legislature. And also, you know, reflective of one of the most significant potential disaster areas, which is, you know, a leak in the Missouri River or a leak in Sakakawea or one of those major, not that this is the only answer to it, but it's certainly, you know, if they had been pigging that line and under the Yellowstone more frequently, maybe they would have found that leak.
But if we if this would be adopted and passed in the bill, and we don't have anyone to enforce the fact that we required it,
mm-hmm.
then where does that leave us?
Well, then that leads me right next to her next amendment, which was to add back the hazardous liquids program in this bill too. So
add one more person because you're adding more to our responsibility now.
Well, I'm not asking for another person. I'd be happy to get three, and I think we can. That's as many.
If that's the master game plan, I'm in.
So this would the second amendment that she's proposing is to add into this bill 1358 the 1.021 whatever million we included for our hazardous liquids program.
Do you think she could be persuaded to make them one amendment? Because you know, it's going to be tempting down there if you're the legislator trying to save money to say, well, we'll take this part and have them do it. We just won't give them any money. And then it'll be their fault now.
That's a good plan. In fact, that's something they talked about doing. Just,
it's
you know.
One. That's a good idea.
Because I guess I'm, at this point, not persuaded yet to support the additional responsibility unless it comes with the money and the people to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. We can get one amendment and we can get behind that amendment, heck yeah. But otherwise, yeah, we'll get hung out just like you said. They'll approve Part A, but no people. And the PSC will be given all this authority, but no people, and then we'll just get in the role.
Okay. So I will talk to her about that and see. And would you guys like a final copy of the final amendment to review, or do you not want to get that involved?
I trust, for me, that you'll get it all put together. As long as it's one amendment, I don't need to look at it. If it's two, then I think we got to stay out of it.
Yeah.
As a commission.
Okay.
I'm not so concerned about seeing the amendment so much as just, maybe on Friday at our legislative discussion, just to report back if you can follow up with legislative council. Are we talking about streams, because aquifers, they're so big that you can stretch that to cover just about every significant area of the state.
Yeah, I'll check with Tim on how he views that definition, and maybe you guys have thought on that too. I don't know.
I have a question, if that's okay, and maybe a disclosure. Is this going to be one master fix up the two bills or the three gathering line bills, and it's going to follow in 1358? Is this part of the other cleanups to that, or do you not know? Or
I guess I don't know about other cleanups to that bill.
Well, Casey and I were going to try to meet with you, but it didn't happen, but we had a few other little things, and we happened to ride in the elevator with Carlene Fine, so we mentioned them to her.
Okay.
And we'll share them with you after, but
okay.
If it is going to be one big amendment, I guess I'd like to see it, if that's possible,
mm-hmm, for sure,
when you get a hold of it.
Okay, yep.
Thanks.
And that's probably, and that reminds me of something else to reinforce with Representative Steiner. You know, if she prepares this kind of the direction we're talking about here, but other people do other things to this master combination of these two bills, you know, maybe we just can't support the whole bill, even though we were okay with her amendment.
Right. But, yeah,
just so she understands
it's definitely
that
a work in progress, sounds like. Okay. The other thing relating to pipelines is, and I've talked to Alana a little bit about this, but in reading these bills, they're largely focused on creating, well, one of the big things that they do is create bonding requirements for gathering lines. And I don't know why this didn't strike me when I was looking at these bills in January, but it didn't. It struck me earlier this week that they're going to, you know, with the passing of these bills, have bonds required for gathering lines. And the lines that we cite and permit, transmission lines, will not have bonds surety bonds or any sort of a bond to protect the public for cleanup. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, both of you, and see if that concerns you at all, if you think there's some rationale for not having it, for having bonds for transmission lines that doesn't exist for gathering lines.
Pat would jump into it. I think off the cuff it's because the ability to fine and force cleanup for transmission lines is pretty well defined.
Is it different from the Industrial Commission, though? Because they have fining authority, too.
Well, even for PHMSA, though, they can mandate, like as we found with that Tioga line, I mean, they can fine. They have to do cleanup. The health department comes in. The EPA comes in. Where the gathering lines, the leaks there, the EPA keeps hands off. So that'd be my thought of why they might be different. Just when you get into transmission lines, the EPA's got the ability to reach right down there.
And I don't know what the rest of the bill does. Unless there's some other changes,
and a bunch of other things, yeah.
You know, they put those in pretty much unregulated, and they just put them in where they want to and how they want to, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so, the fact that we have a siting process and we make sure that it's not within 500 feet of someone's home unless they've signed off on it, and that all these various safety precautions are done. You know, the things that we did around the water crossings on Sandpiper come to mind, and the extra weights around Devil's Lake and all those sorts of things. So I guess I'm thinking that the rationale for differentiating between the two is because of our siting process, there's a lot more certainty to the quality of the work here, where the fact that they're just putting those in on their own is the rationale for requiring that they be bonded, because you might expect there's more likelihood of a problem.
Pat, do you have any thoughts?
I was just thinking a little bit about our siting process and what we can do under the siting authority that we have. The the commission has some penalty provision in the siting law, if the company does not comply with siting laws, rules, and commission order. We have in our orders we would, I think if we made it very clear what we're expecting from the companies on the right-of-way throughout the life of the project, we would certainly be able to incorporate most everything. Well, we try to incorporate most everything that and cover most everything that could happen out there, and that we could get back to the company and then say, hey, you know, we have this jurisdiction, we've issued you a certificate, we've issued you a permit. If you don't fix this, would we put their certificates and their permits in jeopardy? Those are the kind of things that are possible, I believe.
Like that Ludden pump station, that was a good example. There was a leak, and we looked at what we'd done with siting, but if PHMSA came back and did a corrective action plan, they had to comply with A, B, C, D, E, and they had to clean everything up. So they really had a good reach back in to tell them what to do. And we looked at that but decided that let PHMSA run their program in the EPA.
Right. We let them do the investigation, determine the cause, the root cause of the incident. The health department did the cleanup. But we stressed that if they didn't follow the requirements of those agencies, that we would have some authority to do something there. And if they didn't follow the cleanup, for example, on the health and meet the health department's requirements, we would have some authority to do something. And we did the follow-up on that to make sure that the health department was satisfied with their work. And the DOT, of course, we followed the investigation and the and the restart plan for the line and the compliance actions.
Okay.
But if there's something else that we could, what else would we do with the bond that we couldn't do? I guess if there was some kind of a default by the company, then there would be some dollars available. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. It goes contrary to our siting refund discussion.
Well, it's kind of like the extension of that.
Yeah,
you know,
a different way.
I guess it's
a long term. The siting is just for the processing of the permit, but long term, what's exists.
Other things that happened, like we just issued the certificate and route permit for a pipeline in 2012, and I just found out that pipeline, the ownership of that pipeline, has changed hands twice since then.
And they didn't let us know that?
And we don't know. We didn't know anything about it until our construction inspector tried to get on site and do the construction inspection, and the company that owns it now told them, we're not going to let you in until we find out whether you have authority to come here.
Mm. And they just completed construction?
Yeah, they're just finishing up. They're just doing the final construction inspections.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is the type of thing that we can think about in the longer term, but I did want to get your initial thoughts on that. And
to put a point on it, I'd be leery getting involved in bonds for transmission lines.
I would, too, especially without thinking through it, but it also strikes me as, you know, something that happens that all of a sudden people expect that there's bonds for pipelines because the public doesn't necessarily make the distinction between transmission and gathering. It's like, oh, no, there isn't. That's a transmission line. So, anyway, I think I would like to better understand what they're changing in the existing gathering line bonding authority at the Industrial Commission anyway, and I don't fully understand that. So, okay, the last point is on the last issue is on the rail stuff that we talked about last time, the rail safety reports of the legislative management. Brian, I wanted to just get back to you. I had, because you were going to pop in there. Are you still planning to pop in there tomorrow morning or not? If you don't, maybe Daryl can.
I was waiting to see what you wanted me to do. I prefer to stay in the budget meeting, but if.
Well, then maybe I can just walk through this with Daryl, and Daryl, you can pop in there because I think it's not too it's not too onerous. And it's your rail stuff, so it would be good to have you involved.
I hate to miss your budget presentation. They're still talking about
Oh, it's going to be so entertaining. I've got it's quite a, there's lots of good jokes in there. All right. That's all the legislative items I have. Do you guys have any to add?
No, ma'am.
No.
Randy? No.
Is there going to be testimony for the rail case that we should get circulated ahead of time, or the rail bill, or just a summary of what you talked about on Friday, which I don't know what that is because I wasn't there?
The way I've talked to Elke, Senator Elke, who kind of spearheaded the redesign of this bill with Sinner, and I talked to Grant Levi, and Grant Levi basically was – his plan is to send – his budget presentation is at the same time, so he's not going to the hearing himself. But he's sending one of his staff people to basically say, you know, we're neutral on this. Here's what we're doing, you know, and lay out some of the studies that they're working on. Here's what we're working on rail safety, and here's the information we're collecting, and to point out the areas that they don't cover, but not be opposing the bill. And I think that's about what we're doing,
right?
Yep, okay. The same. And so, I guess in terms of formal testimony, we could have a formal statement put together and do that.
If we can get it done. Yeah.
Is that what we typically do? We don't just swing it?
Well, typically when you have three commissioners and two of them want to know what the third one's saying down there, yes, we typically have it in print because then everybody knows what was done. It's up to you to tell us. I'm just trying to schedule the next 2 hours of the day.
Right. And I would be happy to help with it if we decide we need
it. It's not too long, I don't think. It's just pointing out that we don't know any of those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are some things that we are working collaboratively with DOT that you probably don't know about.
I've been
working with Grant on that stuff, and I've talked to you guys a little bit about those things. But and I would pull that from the testimony that I gave on the last bill because that was all outlined there.
That would be so great.
We can do that and ship it around, and you guys can change anything you're uncomfortable with if there is anything.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Or if you just want to give talking points to him, not do testimony, I'm okay with that. Whatever you decide.
Well, and then I think Daryl can sort of use his discretion. If you feel like they got that DOT has kind of covered it, I don't know that we need to get up and do the same thing because they're planning to be very similar.
What time is that hearing?
I think it's at 9:30.
I'm not very comfortable with, you know, no matter how well DOT has summarized it, I really think we need to make a point. Otherwise, they might think, well, okay, DOT doesn't do whichever item they might have in mind mm-hmm. or doesn't have that information, but we'll just still presume that the PSC does, and much of that stuff we don't. So I think we need to say something that which of those things are, I don't know, the whole list of areas where you covered who covers the various things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we would submit it at a minimum, maybe not read it if it's all been said, but submit it and say we.
Yeah.
Because I doubt if.
Same as that, what you just heard. Yeah.
I doubt if the DOT is going to say the PSC doesn't have this information.
Right.
And so if we don't say anything, they might presume that we do.
Right. Yeah. Okay, we'll put together a statement. That shouldn't be too tough. All right. So that concludes any items on my brain for legislative matters. Did you have any, Randy? You did not. Does staff have any legislative items to talk about?
I will just throw it in full disclosure. I think our elevator bills are hitting a little bit of resistance downstairs, so they might not flow quite as easily as the first half of the session.
Have you made it clear that they're your bills and not Julie and I's bills?
Not when the going got tough.
I did have an interesting conversation with Farmers Union just briefly downstairs, saying how they wish they had more time to get in front of the to engage on these bills because their impression was that they don't do what they say they're going to do. You might want to check in with those guys and see what their interpretation is of and what they have a beef with. It was Christy.
Okay.
So they're so wrapped up in the corporate farming stuff that they really aren't. Or maybe you don't want to. I don't know. So anyway, I didn't really have enough time to engage. It was right before the commission meeting, so I didn't push her on what it was she didn't think was the way it was reading or where everyone was interpreting it.
Okay.
Maybe it's the finance, the protection of the financial documents. I'm not sure. Okay. Anything else on legislative matters? Casey, Ilana? No? You've got everything's just covered perfectly?
Big list for after the meeting.
Okay. All right. Then we'll move to scheduling matters. Let's see, I'm looking at, are any of these more important than others? Probably.
I think a lot of these we already voted
don't
on.
Don't we?
So I hope
they're aren't right. they done?
I think Victor did his homework. He's just confirming them.
We've got the public, number two, we've done, right? Public input sessions, haven't we already set those?
Essentially, we didn't officially do it in as part of scheduling, but I went around to everyone. I got company, ALJ, everyone's...
Well, we signed the orders, so they're done. I think it's the most important thing is already finished.
The one thing on...
formal hearing is done.
Well, the formal hearing...
MDU.
Right. I think Brian alluded to it in his in the regular meeting. Mm-hmm. Doing a little bit different, so we're saying we're starting it on the 20th. We're reserving the 20th and 21st, and as an option, if we need the time, we had kind of talked, or at least Brian and I had talked about using the 22nd, which is a normal meeting day for us. So that would be an option of going into a third day if we needed it.
And were those dates that you got from us, those dates, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd? I didn't, that was news to me when I saw it in the order.
20th and 21st we did talk about.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
July 20th.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We should maybe go line by line here. So
yeah, I'm just trying to cut off the ones we don't have to do. So,
If I could, I need to add one more, but it would be kind of on the probably lower priority as far as finding dates, and that's a work session on the bond rules. You know, I alluded to it, that there was some question of
right. The
order of the math.
Okay. All right, so we don't need to do two and three. Those are done. So we'll start with number one, the formal hearing. On
just a quick question, Madam Chair, though. Have those notices gone officially out? They still need to go out, though. So Esther's got all that? Okay. Because we got the holds on them. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
ADP and Thunder Spirit Wind Project. Mike Diller.
I'd like to do that hearing on May 14 or 15, if that works for commissioners.
Me.
I'm good the 14th.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Start at 8:30.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that here?
Enough, Mike?
Yeah, one day's enough.
Is that here, Mike? And
yeah.
Okay.
Did you say 8:30?
Does the 15th work for you guys?
Till noon.
Oh. It's probably not just a noon day.
Graduation weekend for some of the colleges that weekend.
Okay.
Since I have the microphone, I noticed that Esther had scheduled the solar hearing from 8:30 to 2 on May 7th. I'm thinking you should schedule that for the whole day on May 7th. It's not listed here, but if we could just extend that out to the end of the day so we don't get something scheduled in there.
I actually don't see that on my calendar.
I don't either.
On May 7th?
Is it May 6th? May 7th or
6th? May 6th, we've got a hold on there from
there you go. That's
8:30 to 2, so I see.
That's the one.
8:30 yep. Till 5?
My mistake. May 6th.
Oh.
Okay.
Does that work to extend that then?
Yep. That's for me.
While we're on that close, do both of you, Randy and Julie, have May 5th down for Southwest Power Pool?
Yes. Okay. 9 to noon?
Yep. Okay. So make sure we didn't miss it.
Okay. Okay. So May 14th, so the formal hearing for Thunder Spirit, May 14th, 8:30.
Is that till noon? Just all day. Oh, that's all day.
Okay. All right. Number two and number three have been scheduled already. Let's do number the citing refunds work session. Really what we need to know is when do you think, Pat, you can get the information on other cases that would be potentially impacted by whatever we decide on the partial refund? I don't know what's involved in that in terms of sorting through our, you know, case library.
Yeah, I should be able to put that together, and if I had a couple hours, I can put that together.
Okay.
Cases that are impacted by a decision about what the timing of the refunds.
Right.
Regardless of what types of, you know, we're not just talking about wind farms, and we're talking about pipelines or anything where we have some similarities.
I can pretty quickly produce a list of all the exciting cases that we have substantial dollars for substantial amount of the application fee still here, and then the status of each of those.
That's all I was thinking, something we could just kind of look through and go, well, if we're going to do it this one, maybe we should look at this one going back.
Maybe kind of the age of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the date that they're filed.
Excuse me. Okay, so maybe, let's see here, next week is crazy.
Ooh.
Right?
You're correct.
So
who scheduled all those hearings in this?
I know. One after another, we have a problem with not looking at before and after days when we schedule things and seeing
ALJ
what's around
Wednesday,
it.
Though, thank heavens.
See, we've got the. are you guys around? Let's see. Okay, so do you want to do it yet this week, Pat? That's too soon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's look at the next week, probably.
24th looks open for me. But maybe we should save. I'm sure this won't be more than an hour work session, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
I think, yeah, that next week looks okay.
Maybe
how about
both
you?
Both those things on the 24th. I could if.
Yep, I'm pretty open that day as well.
Which one,
the 24th?
I will probably be out that day, but I don't think you need me for it.
Okay.
You're the strongest lobbyist for the wind company, though, Jerry.
Yeah,
the 23rd?
I already said all there to say.
What about the 23rd? Are you guys tied up the 23rd?
I'm good at 23rd or 24th.
Randy?
I got something right away in the morning on the 23rd, but a little later in the day I'm available.
Are you available on the 23rd, Jerry? You've gone both those days.
I have a thing in the afternoon, a pre-construction conference. I think it was around 2, if I remember right.
What about 11? Are you still tied up at 11?
I think I can make it by then.
Okay, or we could do 1 if Jerry's pre. We could do 1 o'clock. Okay, let's do 1 o'clock on the 23rd. For the work session on citing refunds. Formal hearing, Dickinson Wind, 150 megawatt wind energy center, Stark County.
Yeah, that's me too. How about April 24th? Or possibly the 23rd?
When is the legislature required to be done?
Yeah, right about then. We could really be easy in crunch time where we're asked to come down to a budget meeting in 15 minutes.
Conference committee, yeah. How about that later than that, Jerry? Do you have any dates past the 24th?
Yeah, the following week is the 27th to the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Someone should look on the legislative calendar when the 80th day is at.
Does anyone have that AGC thing with them, the Bible?
the next week, Bible. That Casey and I and David are gone 26, 27, 28 to Southwest Power Pool.
Okay.
And then a commission meeting the 29th. But the 30th is wide open. Or the 1st.
I have things both those days.
Fair enough.
The following week, the 4th through the 7th, I have on my list as well. May 4th through 7th.
5th is SPP, the 6th is we just held for something, and the 7th is?
The 4th is UGPTI.
Oh, that's last
29th. Yeah, it's.
So it's April 29th is the last day of the session. Thank you. So what was the 7th? We have a work session, but we could change that.
So the dates I had cleared with the lawyer was 23 and 24. 27 through the 1st, the 4th through the 7th.
Okay, so the 7th. We have scheduled a work session on renewable energy credits, but we could reschedule that. Are you guys available on the 7th other than that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's do that.
This was for the Dickinson Wind, right?
I'm adding renewable energy credits to reschedule. Okay. So May 7th for item number 5. And do we want to do, let's see, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock our time, or 8 o'clock their time?
I would assume we're driving. And so if you figure you need like 90 minutes to drive.
So we'd have to leave at 7:30 to get there for an 8 o'clock start time, the way I calculate.
And that would be pushing it. You get there and get your stuff together and everything in 90 minutes.
7:15.
I'll be driving myself, Commissioner. I can pick you up on the way by if you'd like it.
What time do you want to start? 8:30 their time? 9 their time? Okay, 9 o'clock their time.
So we can leave at 9 o'clock our time.
That's how I figure things.
We'd have to leave by 8 our time, I think.
Okay, 9 o'clock Mountain time. 10 o'clock Central Time. Got that, Daryl?
8 o'clock Mountain Time?
9 o'clock Mountain Time.
And then we're leaving at 8.
No, don't start with that yet. Just let's get the time of the hearing down correctly. 10 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we can deal with the start time separately when we leave and all of that.
All right. Is that when we're going to reschedule the Ashley hearing that day too?
What are your rules?
All right. 10 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Mountain, number 5.
11 o'clock Eastern.
On the May 7th. Okay, then we have three new ones we have that are not listed. Meeting with the health department.
Before we move on from the Dickinson Wind, where is that going to be? At the college or
wherever we can find? I think Daryl will find us a place.
Oh, see, Kathy does that.
Okay. Kathy's doing that now. But
Okay.
Okay.
East end of town.
Okay. Meeting with the health department. This we can look down the road. Do we want to set this after the session's over?
Yeah.
For everybody's sanity?
I would think so.
Let's look at that next week after that week then in May, because really there was no other time. The 11th.
Goodbye me.
Week of May 11th. I'm pretty open on the 11th or 12th.
I have an appointment the morning of the 11th, so, but in the afternoon I'd be available.
All right.
I'm getting
that. We only need an hour for that. So well, let's throw out a couple possible dates because I bet Vic will need a few to work with.
Yeah. So the afternoon of the 11th.
May 11th afternoon.
You know, other than the morning of the 11th and the during the commission meeting, I just have the whole week free.
We just scheduled something the 14th.
Yeah, we did.
Other than that.
Yeah, the 12th, May 12th, is good for me, too.
Anytime after 11, I got a meeting at 9.
So May 12th after 11? And then the 15th, the 14th we scheduled the Thunder Spirit. The 15th, I'm pretty open. You were open in the morning, right,
yes,
Brian?
Ma'am. Yep.
15th in the morning. Is that
morning of the 15th or the 13th?
15th. 13th is out. We got commission stuff that day. Is that the 15th in the AM work for you, Randy?
Yep.
Okay, so you can run those dates by.
Yep.
Dave. That's a meeting with the health department.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Do you want me to see if Paul Seabee can join us for that or no?
I don't think so. Too expensive.
Well, sometimes you just want to spend
some time. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. All right. Bond rules work session. How soon do you want to do that, Randy?
This can be something that can be, I don't think we're going to spend more than a half hour on it, and we can easily reschedule it if we get called to a hearing or something like that.
Right.
But I think we could just as well get it done with, too. So let's try and schedule something pretty quick, knowing that if something changes, we just reschedule it.
All right. Let's see here. I was looking under...
I don't have so much going on next Monday. What's next Monday? Why am I missing that?
I'm committed out of the area, so maybe that's why we couldn't schedule stuff.
Okay.
On the 16th.
Let's see.
What about this Friday after we would finish with our... On Friday, is this the week we have our director's meeting?
Yeah.
After legislative? What about after that?
I'm free in the afternoon, but I wouldn't be able to go straight through because I'm already kind of overbooked at that director's meeting time. So I'm tied up from 11:30 to 12:45 that day. But I could do it 1 o'clock.
Staff sometimes has a big to-do list after legislative calendar.
Do we really need the director's meeting? Didn't we just have one of those? Because we had to reschedule it?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Should we cancel that?
I think
that?
We could probably cancel that one. Yeah, let's do that. Then we could... do you want to do it in the afternoon that day?
Or do you want to just have it after the...
Legislative
meeting. We're here and just roll right into
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
Works for me.
So we'll do the bond rules work session on the 13th, immediately following the legislative meeting. And you can cancel the director's meeting, Daryl.
Okay.
All right. And last but not least, we should reschedule the renewable energy credits work session that we had.
That's the rec thing, I think.
Were all the companies going to come in for that?
Mike was setting that up.
That might not have been so easy to reschedule.
Yeah.
I wondered about that, too.
I was thinking it was just us, but it's not.
We should probably get Mike back over here.
Yeah.
Unless Victor knows the answer to this.
No, I'm sure.
No, you're right, Julie.
I'm pretty sure, we were going to have the companies come in.
He's probably calling them companies right now. You're not going to believe this.
It was Yahoo's.
It's his hearing we used this reschedule for it. Wasn't he here for that? No?
Yeah, that was right before he stomped out.
Which one did we schedule for that same time?
We scheduled it for 10 o'clock on the 7th of May.
Yeah, and what did we schedule? Oh, we scheduled the formal hearing on Dickinson Wind on that time period. We'll reschedule that one, maybe.
We're trying to remember what we were going to do with the REC. Was that companies coming in for that? And
the companies will file letters to tell us ahead of time what they would prefer us to do with RECs. Yes, they're coming in for a roundtable discussion. We talked about each utility company having equal time to make their sales pitch and then open it up for roundtable discussions. And it would include things like not selling RECs because we might need them for, after 111D rule goes into effect, or, do we want them to retire the full 10% renewable energy credits that are not required by law, but the objective that's set out in law.
Were we planning it that day because NSP was already going to be here the day before?
Well, I think we did talk about that, but I'm not so sure the same people would be here for that anyway. So
okay.
I don't know that it would be a problem moving it.
All right.
But even still, I don't know. They've probably had people that have made plans around this because we scheduled it, and it seems to me we should almost reschedule the
hearing,
the Dickinson
one. Which we haven't really even... Someone should get Jerry, because...
You're done with me, then? I'll get Jerry's.
Okay. Hold on.
You're not in a hurry. Let's get Jerry, but maybe Mike, if you could hold on in case we change our mind again.
Sure.
Casey and Jack, this is not the way it always is.
Scheduling is always the worst part of this whole meeting, though. Isn't it?
Oh, God, always. Because you two never have the right schedule. It matches my schedule.
You weren't traveling all over the country now.
Making up all these boondoggle trips.
I don't know that we had a whole lot of other days for Jerry.
It's
a that was the reason why we picked the 7th. Okay, Jerry, the 7th, that hearing we wanted to, or the work session we thought would be so easy to reschedule, turns out there's a lot of other companies involved in that work session. So what were the dates that you had available for that Dickinson Wind? Which we decided against because the session would still be wrapping up then.
Yeah. I think we got to get into May.
I was cleared through the 7th at first. Maybe I should run and get that paper again. Was that the 30th of April?
30th, yeah. I've got a... I have a commitment here at 3. Could we be done by... do you think we'd be done with it? My commitment on the 30th is at 3 o'clock in Bismarck.
Well, you've got to get back from Dickinson. That's pushing
it. Not if we start at 8.
You know, I don't know because I've been getting some calls.
Okay, so it could be a long hearing. All right. So the 30th, the 1st, and then you had what other dates?
Through the 7th. Let me run and grab that piece of paper.
4th. You were gone 4th, 5th, 6th, correct?
Well, no, I'm here. The 5th, we have a SPP. They're all coming up for that in the morning, right?
Yep.
And then the 4th, I'm with SPP, but I can...
I have Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute that day.
Yeah. So the 4th and 5th...
Are you still on that? Isn't that the rail thing?
Well, it's sort of licensing, too, because all of the all those grain reports go through those.
Mm.
Mm. Sort of a mixed thing.
Yeah. Fifth, sixth,
so
that date.
After the 7th, I don't have anything on the availability of Mitch or Brian. That doesn't mean they're not available. But for the dates that he gave me through the 7th, we had the 23rd and 24th of April, the 27th through the 1st of May. And then the 4th through the 7th.
Yeah.
And the 1st we didn't want to do because the session last day?
No, the 1st I have a commitment.
Okay. How about if we pick out some days that following week we're into May and pick out 3 or 4 of them and see if Jerry can make them work?
If you give me something during that next week, I think the ALJ was clear. I just don't know about Mitch.
During the week of the 11th.
Well, we've already identified for this meeting with Dave Glott. Let's see. Well, those were all just partial days, though. So maybe we leave those.
You know, I have the whole week of May 17th open for some reason.
It would be better if we could do it sooner.
I have that week pretty open, too.
I do, too.
But I also have the 14th. Did someone have a conflict on that? Because we didn't...
We scheduled,
oh, we scheduled something on that already.
Oh, yeah, that's the second time I made that mistake.
Got a Thunder Spirit wind that day.
Mm-hmm. And the 11th, somebody had a conflict, I remember. I think.
11th, I'm...
In the morning, there's a conflict on the 11th.
I do.
Well, do we want to do a hearing starting at 1 o'clock Mountain Time? Excuse me.
Well, is it, day, but, is it that much different for the company to do the 11th versus the 23rd? I mean, it's a week.
The 18th, you mean, right?
They would...
No, not the 18th.
Really, oh, wait, like, oops, to start construction this summer.
Oh, I see what you're getting at. Okay.
You know, if we... What if we had it on the 11th in the afternoon... I'd have no problem making it.
Okay, well, I've got another idea. What about the 23rd or 24th? And if one of us needs to stay, one of us, like I can stay when this one isn't, you know, my portfolio. And if we have to have someone back for the legislature, we stay. Otherwise, we just move ahead because, you know, we're tying up a lot of days just that could be completely free with waiting on legislative action. You know, we may or may not all need to be here on those days.
I'm okay with that.
The 24th is Friday. I'll give you one more day for the legislature to possibly be done.
They won't be done, but that week will be less chaotic, I would guess, a little less chaotic than the next. I'd propose the 24th.
Fine by me.
24th, is that?
Friday, April 24th.
April 24th.
And then if it doesn't work to, for, you know, if there's something hot going for any one of us, we stay back.
We may find that we have hot things going for all of us. I don't know, but
yeah. Well, I mean, we've always run that balance of legislative action, but yeah, it's tough to prioritize not doing a hearing because you might be called somewhere. And,
right.
And if we are called, or if we have capable staff that can at this point made our positions. And,
yeah, I mean, the biggest thing at that point would be any last minute budget, conference committee things. Yeah, I don't know. I think that given the restrictions on our calendar and the balance that we should.
Well, we could schedule it as an ALJ hearing, and then I know I can go. We could do that kind of thing as a worst-case scenario, too.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there. Well, if there's a fair amount of public interest, it's probably
better
one
that. We're older. I think we'll be fine.
I think so, too.
April 24th.
Well, I do also think that the legislature expects us to keep doing our jobs during the session. And, you know, if we're gone because we're at a hearing, that's not like we're on vacation or something like that.
Well, it is close enough that if one of us is even had to leave early or go late,
right,
we can stagger something like that.
And we can be reachable by phone if there's something that comes up.
It's only an hour to Dickinson, Jerry, so we can be back quick.
All right.
What time did you say?
24th at same time, 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, 10 a.m. Central Time.
Got it.
And that's not Good Friday, is it?
Good Friday?
No.
You mean,
Friday's on the
Good 3rd. Friday is a couple weeks before that.
Okay.
It's on the 3rd.
When is that?
Oh. Okay, the April 24th. You got that, everyone? We're done with bond rules. Renewable energy credits, what did we decide on that one? Okay, that one we're keeping. Okay.
What about the SIP and FIP? Are we going to schedule?
We got that. No. Yeah, that was the one that...
Three dates lined up, the Victor's.
Yep.
Oh, okay, that's
the health department thing.
Well, that's the health department. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Anyone? All right. Well, our meeting is adjourned. Meeting.